We're glad you're back with us. We missed your enthusiasm and excitement. Not that we didn't have any while you were gone, but it's nice to have that added piece to it. Just a few announcements. I want to remind you that this Wednesday, we're continuing on our prayer emphasis. We'll meet in here in the sanctuary. We'll have a little time of worship and then go to prayer. We're going to pray for this week the persecuted church and around the world. And so I invite you to come and be a part of that and join us as we pray. We already had the baptism service. Giving statements are available out in the foyer. In the foyer. We don't have foyers here. Out in the cafe area. Sorry. I swung back into one of those traditional things. In the cafe area at the information counter. So if you have, for tax purposes, if you need those, they're out on the counter. This coming Friday, I invite you to join us. We're going to have a family movie night at Evergreen. We're going to have popcorn and snacks and drinks. BYOLC. Bring your own lawn chair. So we're going to do it back in the kids' area. And so bring your own chair. And if you don't bring one, we'll have one. But have chair will travel. That'll be a good thing. So I invite you, if you know families that you have for friends, you don't have to be a kid to come to this, but I invite you to be a part of it. Home fellowship groups are going to start the first week in February, and we're going to be studying the book of Hebrews, and we're going to have two different nights and at two different homes. So on Wednesday nights at 6:30, we're going to meet at Pastor Al and Barb's house in Plover. The address is there in the bulletin. And then on Thursdays at 6 p.m., we're going to meet at the home of John and Sarah. So Pastor Al and Barb, let's wave your hand. We have people, okay? And then John and Sarah. There's John and Sarah right there. So so on Thursday nights, 6 at John and Sarah's house, we talked about at the beginning of the year things that are important for us to grow spiritually. Prayer is one of them. We've been doing that this month on Wednesday nights, focusing on praying for the needs of our area and around the world. And studying the Bible is one of those things that's going to help us grow spiritually. And so I encourage you to make it a priority to study God's Word and to read it daily. How many of you got a little thing in the mail that said we want you to do that? Yeah. And so I just encourage you to be a part of the one of those home fellowship groups. There's Valentine's banquet coming February 14th, and it's going to be here at the church, and there's going to be food and fun. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a great time. Cost is $5 a person, so affordable for everybody. Anybody can afford that. And they're going to be on sale starting today in the cafe area. And if you have any questions, you can talk to Sandra. So I wrote in the bulletin, not a couple, not a problem. So if you just want to come to it, if you're not married, that doesn't matter. You just come. Okay? All right? If you want to get married, we can find somebody for you. And so, yeah. Yesterday we had a men's breakfast and had a great time. 9 people were there. I invite you to the next one coming up in February. So when that comes around again, I invite you to be a part of it. I've also been thinking, Sandra and I were talking about it. We've been thinking about Emily and Autumn, since they have left our presence and they're on to new and adventurous things, that we remember to pray for them. So when you think of their names, we put their picture in the bulletin so you can remember. All right. Okay, that's enough announcements. At this time, we're going to have the ushers come forward, and we're going to receive this morning's offering. Father, we give you thanks for your loving care in our lives and for meeting our every need. And today we come together and we give back to you, Father, a portion of that, and pray that you would use it, Father, to meet the needs of this body and to reach the lives of people here in Stevens Point and around the world, and that you would bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Also, while they're doing that, there are sign-ups in the cafe area for food fill-up. If you want to help with that, pass out food, load up food. It's a great opportunity. I got to help the last time we had it and have done it at other churches. So I encourage you to be a part of it. So the more hands there are, the better it is. So I invite you to be a part of that. Say again? Dress warm. Oh, dress warm, yeah. Yeah, that is a good idea. So, we have been talking about what God's Word says will help us grow spiritually. So we've talked about prayer and worship and God's Word and meeting together. Today we're going to talk about meeting together. We're going to talk about the family of God and building one another up and talk about that. So we're called the body of Christ. You may not have heard that term before. Some people just say it's a church. And this is a church. But all the churches together, when you put them all together, we are the body of Christ. And Christ is the head, and we are the body. Some of us may be a foot, or a toe, or hair, or an ear, or fingers, fingernails. We're all different. We're all used by God in different ways, but we are the body. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 12, and I apologize, we have to get our projector worked on. That side, you're kind of blind, so you have to look up here. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 says, "Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. We were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body." Verse 17, "If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all in part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' And the head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker or are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." So it's a pretty good analogy of what Jesus wants the body of Christ, what he wants the church to be like. It says that it's one body, but we're all a part of it, and we're all the different parts. And each one of us is important. We're all diverse. We all have different backgrounds, different upbringings. Our ethnicity may be different, but we're different, and we do different things. We have different abilities and talents that God has given us, and giftings that God has provided for us. but we function and have a common root and we have a common goal. It talks about that the fact that it doesn't matter if you're Jew, Greek, slave, or free. That pretty much is saying, doesn't matter who you are or where you came from or what you've done in the past, but that now that you have come to Christ, you are part of the body. And I think that's important to realize. So it doesn't matter who we are. Sometimes we think certain people will never make it. That God will never touch them. That God will never reach them and bring them into a saving experience. But if we keep on praying for them and sharing the love of Jesus with them, I've watched it countless times. God do a work in people that some may have thought were impossible for God. So we're all part of the body of God. Some people may feel excluded, but we are indeed members of the body. Again, we can't exclude others. We can't say, because they're Hmong, they can't be a part of the body of Christ. I just had to choose something that you could relate to. Or because they're African-American, they can't be a part of the body of Christ. Because they're going to have their own little part of heaven, and they're not going to be with us. If they're not Polish or Hungarian or whatever else we have here in Stevens Point. What else? Is that what we got? Ski. We're there. I'm not there, but I understand. But we're one body. When we get to heaven, everybody's going to be mixed together. We're not going to be separated and into sections. We're going to all be there in His presence, worshiping and glorifying our God. So it's important to understand that now, so that when you get to heaven, you're not shocked and say, "Oh, wow, these people are there too." I was raised in Florida. My father had he had helped an African American college in building and painting. My mother and he, they had a cross burned in their front yard. This was in Georgia. And so this was in the 50s. So I understand that we are a nation of prejudice and things of that nature, but that's not the way it is in the body of Christ. We're all equal. We're all the same, and it doesn't matter who we are. We can't exclude others. So diversity is not only acceptable, it's essential. The body can't work. If we were all hands, we would look pretty funny, first of all. If we were a body and just made up of hands, we wouldn't be able to function very well. We wouldn't be able to get places very well. And it talks about even the little parts and things like that. If you've ever broken your toe or something of that nature, you realize how important that part of your body is, even though it's small and little. So we're all equal, and we should have equal concern for one another, because we're part of the same body. We need to have a heart towards and sympathy with our fellow believers, even though we may be different. So the church is a unified whole, and yet we are distinct within that body. We're in unity, but we're not uniformity. Everybody doesn't have to dress the same way or act the same way. We're all different. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 to 5 says a little more about the body of Christ. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Oh, each member belongs to all the others. I need a pen for a moment. So, says that each member belongs to all the others. So we belong to each other in the body of Christ. The body of Christ, we're the family of God. So we belong to each other. Evergreen Church, we belong to each other. And we should be supporting one another. We should be rejoicing when people rejoice. We should be in sorrow when people are in sorrow or going through a hard time, building one another up. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 to 16 says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So it says we're supposed to deal with each other in love, with love. And it's not just our own love. You know, it's God's love flowing through us to one another. God can give us a love for people who are unlovable, if you want to say that, who we would consider that can't be loved. But God gives us that love within our hearts to be able to do that. We never grow independent of Jesus. He's always the head. He's always the head, but we grow up in him. We grow spiritually, we grow numerically, we grow in him. God wants us to see the church as a body where every part does its share. This is not a pyramid, and the pastor's at the top, and he does all the work. He's the spiritual one, and nobody else could do anything. No, it's a whole group. Everybody does what we're supposed to do for the Lord. And it's not just one person or persons, a couple of people. It's a body where everybody does a part. I don't know what your family upbringing is like, but most of the time in families, people work together to accomplish things in their home, or if something needs to be fixed, or, you know, in the older generation, they would tell you about how family had to do all these things and pull together, and that's what the body of Christ is about. And are you fishing or what, Mary? I thought you were fishing. She had that little cast thing going. So, in the Bible, there's a term that says one another. One another. And it's in the New Testament. It's mentioned 58 times, one another, 58 times, not counting the gospel. So 40 times alone, just in the writings of Paul, he uses that term, one another. And these one another verses, or each other verses, speak of actions that we as Christians are to take towards one another. Some of the things we are to do to one another are to serve one another as he is doing, keeping it the drywall from getting wrecked. Yep, good point. Good job. See, so we're to love one another, honor one, these are just a few of them. Love one another, honor one another, live in harmony with one another. Ever had a difficult time with that one? Live in harmony with others. Sometimes that's a difficult thing, but He wants us to do that. Accept one another. Instruct one another. Agree with one another. Have the same mind as one another. Bear with one another. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Be devoted to one another. Admonish one another. Greet one another. Bear the burdens of one another. Encourage one another. So I believe that the one thing that is overarching and is required over all those things is love. I think that love is the foundational piece in this, in the fact that if we love one another, then those other things are going to come along. But love, I think, is the key. Out of those 58 times when one another is used, 11 of those times, it calls for us to love one another, to love one another. So, but what I want to talk about today is the need that we have to encourage one another. There's a word for encourage that is called parakleo. And in the Greek, it means to exhort, admonish, teach, and encourage. Teach and encourage. Hebrews 3:13 says, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just in fact, as you are doing. So, the last slide of the whole thing, can you just scoot over there? There is a kid's song that is called Encourage One Another and Build Each Other Up. And I think that this will help you get a grasp of it. And I know you're not children, but I'm going to do the song anyway. It goes like this. Encourage one another and build each other up. Build each other up, build each other up. Encourage one another and build each other up. And you go like this. Up, 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 up. Okay, so we're going to do that. Okay? So you don't have to worry about the melody. Just say the words. So you're already down, so going up is good. All right, so encourage one another and build each other up. Build each other up. I don't remember the melody anymore. Meld each other up. Encourage one another and build each other up. Up, 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 up. Okay, Steve Green did a kid's album, and he did this a long time ago. Okay, and then the second verse goes, encourage one another. You got to stand back up. Because we gotta have to go down. Encourage one another. Don't tear each other down. Tear each other down. Tear each other down. Encourage one another. Don't tear each other down. Down, 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 down. Okay? So if you don't remember all the scriptures and everything, hopefully you will remember the fact that we're to encourage one another and to build each other up. Up, 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 up. And to not tear one another down. So, back to, you can go back to where we were at. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16 says, from him the whole body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament, and it grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So, even all these ligaments and everything is holding us together. It's pretty amazing how God created us. And how everything works together. And as he gives us a picture of that, and as we think about, you know, all that being working together and building itself up, it says that the body grows and builds itself up in love. So it's not just God doing the work in us, but that we help each other and we build each other up in love. We show that love towards one another, and we build each other up. And it talks about the fact that each one of us has our part to do, and we have to do it. And that may be working with kids, or it may be on the worship team, or it may be greeting, or helping with bringing donuts, or making coffee, or all kinds of things, or helping with food fill up, or helping with place of peace, all those kind of things that we can do. And as we do our part, then we build ourselves up. We grow and we build ourselves up. So we're part of home fellowship groups, as we're part of small groups, LTGs, or what does that stand for? Life Transformation Group? Okay. So when you're a part of those and in small groups, those kind of things, it helps us grow and build each other up. So God's design is that every Christian be a functioning part of the body of Christ. Each of us have the ability to contribute. Doesn't matter who you are, what your background is, or what you think about yourself, or whether you think you can do something. God stretches us way beyond what we think we can do sometimes. And so I encourage you to be open to that. The term encourage also means to edify, to build up. And when we have our first interest in building others up, other Christians up, then God will also edify us. He'll build us up. And he'll raise us up. He'll give us a little extra charge of his power. The church is supposed to be full of active participants, not passive spectators. So we all apart. We're all apart. So I hope you're getting this. It said in the fact. Skip that thought. So what I want from you. I have a question for you, and you have to provide me with answers. So how can we build one another up? I'll give you some scriptures, and just it will give us a start on things. But you have to come up with practical ways that we can encourage one another. So Titus chapter 1, verse 9 says, encourage others through his word. Talks about how we can encourage one another through God's word and to share with them what God says about certain things. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 says that we're to correct, rebuke, and encourage with patience and with instruction. So we're teaching people and helping them grow. Maybe you're at a place where you can teach somebody else about who Jesus is and help them grow in him. That's what it's talking about. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 says, encourage, comfort, urge to live lives worthy of God. So we're to kind of spur each other on and encourage each other, urge us on to what God has in store for us, to live our lives the way he wants us to. And then Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 to 25 says that we're to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. So we're to encourage one another to love with God's love, and we're to encourage one another in good deeds, to do things for people and to encourage them. So he also says in that verse that we're not to give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but we're to encourage one another. So it's important, I think, when we have the opportunity to gather together and to come together, because I'm encouraged when we come together. And I hope that you are encouraged too as we come together, and it doesn't have to be in a setting like this. It could be in a prayer meeting, it could be at a Bible study, it could be in a family movie night, any of those type things. So practical ways that we can encourage one another. I have a pen, so I'm writing them down. Yes, Star. Okay. Barb? Listen to one another. That's important. What else? Okay. Share resources. Okay. Pray. Okay. Say again. Give me your time. Note or phone call. Give them. Hold on 1 second. I need shorthand or something. Positive thoughts, somebody said. Yeah, positive. Positive words are very helpful. Listen and be objective. Mm-hmm. Speaking of fishing, you know, I watched all those people out on the lake yesterday. They had like 10 cars and all the little tents on it. I thought it was a little crazy because we're not in Alaska and it hasn't been that cold around here that it can't be that thick. Love each other. In Fairbanks, when we lived in Fairbanks, the rivers would freeze, and so you could drive across them. And so it would save you 30 minutes in driving through town to get to certain parts. And so always at the beginning and at the end of the season, there would be somebody who would go a little too early and through the water. We got somebody put on Facebook the first car of the season when they had done it a couple months ago. They went through. Anyway, it was kind of like what the Green Bay Packers did last Sunday. They kind of cracked through the ice, and down they went. Yes. Now, I did tell you last Sunday that what colors were going to be victorious. I just want to stand in saying that it was green and blue, and I was correct. I really thought you guys were going to win. I gave it up. I had already given up. I get these little texts from Bob asking me if I need Kleenex and whatnot. And then as things changed in that fourth quarter, and then as we went into overtime, I did not rub it into him, though. But I am rubbing it in today. Oh, yeah, I know. Up, 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 up. Okay, that's true. That was not edifying, was it? Encourage the congregation, Mary said. Unjudgmental, that's good. You said love, 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 and what? Forgive. Sorry. So I went to the baptismal is from Celebration Church, so it's very nice that they allowed us to borrow it. And so I met with Pastor Kurt and his wife, and so I brought it back here. But it wasn't me that filled it up with water and who heated it up and let it get cold again. There are people who came alongside and helped, and so that is important to do things for one another. Anything else? A simple note or a postcard, or we don't have a whole lot of postcards around in today's society, but just some kind of a note or a phone call or a text or a email. Those little things make a difference. And so, oh. Yeah. You can go to the place across the way. The one that's over here. What's it called? Black Cow. Black Cow, yeah. Surprise gift. Coffee. Someone says sometimes even a touch. Just a touch on someone's arm. Just assuring them. A holy hug. Holy noogies. Okay. So there are a lot of things that you have told us about. And I think there are some things that we can put into practice. And I encourage you. We are the body of Christ. We are the family of God. We're to build each other up. We're to help each other. And I encourage you to do just that. At this time, the worship team is going to come back, and they're going to lead us in worship. And I asked them to sing the song, "There is Power," once again, because I think it's important for us to realize, just that as the people who were baptized today have realized, that there is power in the name of Jesus, and that Jesus, if you're going through a difficult time, or if you have some things that are sucking life out of you, that Jesus can set you free from those. So let's pray and then declare what Jesus can do. Father, we give you thanks for the fact that you encourage us, that you build us up. But I pray that as a body of Christ, that as Evergreen Church, that we would do the same for each other, that we would reach out and in practical ways encourage one another in the Lord and in their walk and in how they're doing with you. And that we would just encourage with practical things as well, Lord, and build one another up in your faith, in our faith in you. Pray that your hand would be upon us. I thank you again for the work that you're doing in each one of our lives, and for the way you're drawing us into relationship with you. Pray that you would be with us as we go throughout this week, and as we put into action the encouragement of one another. We love you and we give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you join me in standing and let's sing to him.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.